This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
In this episode, we take up the conscience of the king.
Compliance, the final frontier. Tom Fox is the voyager of trekking through compliance. His mission? To explore the original series and seek out and share what it can teach you about compliance. Here's your host, Tom Fox.
Episode 13, The Conscience of the King. A friend of Captain Kirk, one Thomas Layton, diverts the Enterprise to Cygna Minor Earth Colony 300, light years off its course, with a phony message. Layton tells Kirk his suspicion that the actor Anton Caridian is actually Kodos the Executioner, but doesn't live to expand on the allegation, as he is murdered shortly after making this report to Kirk. Kirk consults the computer banks and discovers that Caridian's history begins almost exactly where Kodos's ended. Of the nine witnesses to Kodos's murder of 4,000 colonists on Tarsus IV some 20 years ago, Kirk finds that Layton, Kevin Riley, and himself were the only survivors. All others are dead. Kirk further finds the deaths of all of the witnesses occurred when the Caridian players were nearby their locations. Hoping to conclusively establish the identity of Caridian, Kirk requests his friend Captain Daly not to pick up the acting company. At the request of Caridian's 19-year-old daughter, Lenore, Kirk then uses the Enterprise to take them to the Benicia colony some 8 light years out of the way of the Enterprise's path. While the players are aboard, Riley's milk is poisoned and a phaser on overload is hidden in Kirk's room. Kirk confronts Caridian, but is not conclusively convinced of his guilt. After Riley escapes from sickbay and tries to kill Caridian, Kirk overhears the psychopathic Lenore telling her father it was she who's been killing the eyewitnesses to his deeds of the past. Kirk tries to take Lenore into custody, but she grabs a phaser from a security guard. She tries to shoot Kirk, but her father takes the fatal phaser blast intended for Kirk. And in the last scene, Lenore goes insane. If you like Shakespeare, this was an episode for you. Obviously, the references are replete throughout this play, both references to Macbeth, the reference to Hamlet are great scenes in this episode. Interestingly, in a scene filmed but later cut, the action indicated, or the narration, I should say, indicated that Kirk was fresh out of the academy some 20 years ago when the massacre at Tarsus IV occurred. That's a little bit different than the timeline we heard on late in a later show, The Deadly Years. But this one really was enjoyable. The performances, I thought, particularly the performances of the Shakespeare, were something that everyone would enjoy. Lenore going crazy, insane, was a really interesting portrayal of just how deep and dark the mind could go. So a little bit different in this direction, or this episode, the direction we went, but I give it a thumbs up, and I hope you will watch and enjoy this episode.
So what are the compliance takeaways from this episode? Actually, I think there are several, and the overriding one is, when does a leader step over the line from business to personal? And here I thought of Barclays CEO Jess Staley and his attempt to unmask a internal anonymous whistleblower. Under the facts of that situation, one of Staley's key lieutenants had been accused of drug use by an anonymous whistleblower. Staley went to corporate security and tried to ask the corporate security unmask the identity of the whistleblower. When that didn't prove fertile, he then directed an investigation be engaged in by the company to track down mailing addresses, physical mailing addresses, and phone numbers. Obviously, all of this is illegal. It did occur in the United Kingdom, but it violated company law, violated UK law, violated U.S. law, because the U.S. Postal Service was actually involved, or at least contacted to try to track down this. Why did Staley do it? Well, he said it was to protect the reputation of a good friend. But clearly, not only did he engage in unethical activity by trying to unmask the whistleblower, he pushed his company to engage in illegal activity. And this was clearly a situation where a leader stepped over the line from business to personal. Staley was sanctioned somewhat by the Financial Commission in Authority in the United Kingdom. He received a $500,000 fine. But it really speaks, I think, to a greater character issue that he was willing to go to such lengths to protect a personal friend when clearly the company was potentially at risk. A simple drug test would have been enough. Even senior executives are subject to random drug tests, at least in every corporation I've been aware of. So when a leader steps over from the business to the personal, I think a company runs the risk of really losing focus, moving to unethical behavior, and perhaps even illegal activity. Number two, in this episode, the actor Anton Caridian basically admits elliptically to Kirk, but certainly to his daughter, that he is tired, and he is tired of playing the role of Anton Caridian some 20 years after he ordered the execution of the colonists on Tarsus V due to a catastrophic food failure. And the so when can you ever be sure about a confession? Was the confession coerced by Kirk? Kirk certainly thought at some point he had Caridian in his sights, but even Kirk could not be sure. So when can you ever be sure about a confession? Do you need corroborating evidence? In this case, the corroborating evidence was going to be a voice pattern, but even the computer could not be 100% sure, as Spock pointed out several times to Kirk. And finally, what's the difference between an investigation and a root cause analysis? Well, a root cause analysis is, first of all, an investigation is to determine what happened. The root cause analysis is to determine how or why it happened. It's simply the different types of questioning you would use, but they're both very valuable tools. The Department of Justice has made clear in the most recent Evaluation of Corporate Compliance Programs 2019 guidance that both strategies need to be employed if your company finds itself either under an FCPA investigation or internally feels that there may be a potential violation. And here, the root cause analysis of why was explored at some length by Mr. Spock. And it was actually Spock who I thought raised the almost human issues of the radical nature of Kodos's decision to execute colonists so that some would die so that some would live, basically executed half the colony in short order before relief ships arrived with additional food stuffs for the colony. And that discussion, I thought, was not only interesting, but even moved towards troubling. So lots of really to think about in this. Are really interesting. If you like Shakespeare, it doesn't get much better than this, as it did Macbeth, as they did Hamlet, as parts of the play. So I hope you'll join me again tomorrow for our next episode, which is The Balance of Terror. This is Tom Fox. Thank you for listening.
If you enjoyed this episode of Trekking Through Compliance, you can help it grow by sharing it with the biggest Trek fan you know.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.